blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is John 4, 16 to 26. John chapter 4, verse 16 to 26. "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You are right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands and you aren't even married to the man you are living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." My theme for reflection is the Messiah's invitation. The Messiah's invitation. In John 4, 16 to 26, the story of Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman takes a significant turn, revealing deep truths about human need, divine grace, and the nature of true worship. This passage is not merely a conversation. It is a transformative moment in which Jesus unveils himself as the long-awaited Messiah, inviting the Samaritan woman and all of us into a life-changing relationship with him. Jesus begins by steering the conversation into a deeply personal space. When he says, "Go call your husband and come here," it is not a casual request. Jesus is gently but firmly drawing attention to her spiritual and relational brokenness. Her response, "I have no husband," leads Jesus to reveal her past. "You have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband." This revelation lays bare her life, not to condemn her, but to help her see her need for the living water he offers. This moment highlights a universal truth. Before we can embrace God's transformative grace, we must first confront the reality of our sin. The Samaritan woman's personal history reflects not just her story, but the brokenness of humanity, our thirst for fulfillment in things that cannot truly satisfy. Yet as profound as this personal insight is, the conversation swiftly transitions to something even greater. The woman perceives Jesus as a prophet and seizes the opportunity to ask a theological question. Where is the proper place to worship, Mount Gerizim, the Samaritan holy site, or Jerusalem, the Jewish holy site? Jesus redirects her question to a higher truth. "An hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." Worship, Jesus explains, is no longer tied to a location, but to a person, himself. This shift redefines worship entirely. Our Lord Jesus Christ declares, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." True worship is not confined by geography, tradition, or rituals. It is a spiritual act made possible through Jesus, the embodiment of truth. Finally, Jesus makes a staggering claim. I who speak to you am he. Here Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah, the one who fulfills the hopes of both Jews and Samaritans. For a woman burdened by shame and division, this declaration offers hope and redemption. The Messiah she has longed for is standing before her, offering her living water and inviting her into a relationship that transcends cultural, racial, and personal barriers. My dear friends, this passage resonates deeply in a world fractured by division, whether racial, social, political, or religious. The encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman challenges us to see beyond superficial differences and to embrace the unifying power of Christ's love. Just as Jesus crossed cultural and social boundaries to reach the Samaritan woman, he calls us to reach out to those who are marginalized or different from us. Moreover, the woman's thirst for living water mirrors the universal human longing for meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. We too seek satisfaction in relationships, success, or material possessions, only to find that these things cannot quench the thirst of our souls. As Tom Wright aptly says, Jesus doesn't just offer answers, he offers himself. True satisfaction comes not from external achievements, but from the living water of his presence, which becomes a wellspring of eternal life within us. Finally, Jesus' redefinition of worship is a powerful reminder for our time. Worship is not confined to a church building, a specific tradition, or a particular ritual. True worship flows from a heart transformed by the Spirit, grounded in the truth of who God is. This calls us to examine the authenticity of our worship. Are we going through the motions? Or are we encountering God in spirit and in truth? There are two questions for reflection. Number one, in what ways are you seeking satisfaction in things that leave you spiritually thirsty? How can you turn to Jesus as the source of living water? Number two, how does Jesus' teaching on worship challenge your understanding of what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth? Lord Jesus, thank you for being the living water that quenches the deepest thirst of our souls. Like the Samaritan woman, we come to you with our brokenness and longings, seeking the grace only you can provide. Teach us to worship you in spirit and truth, not confined by tradition, but flowing from hearts transformed by your love. Help us to extend your invitation of grace to those around us, crossing the barriers that divide us. May we find our ultimate satisfaction in you and become springs of living water for a world in need. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.